Welcome to the PRQ Homesteading Expanded Radio Show, where self-reliance meets resilience. I'm your host, Robin. And what? Shane's not going to be here today. What the heck? That's it. He's fired. That is it. No, just kidding. Shane is with his kids again this weekend, so I'm going solo. It's not like I've never done that before. So anyway, this week, you guys, we are diving into a critical topic for every homesteader: defending your homestead patent. All right, this is a new journey for me, and I'm going to share parts of my journey with all of you, and hopefully, we'll have some callers doing the same. So, from securing your property to preparing for unexpected challenges, successes. We'll explore practical strategies to protect your land, your loved ones, and the way of life. So grab a cup of coffee. I have some tea. I've been drinking some fennel tea, which has got a very interesting taste to it. I like it. Settle in and let's get ready to fortify your homestead, because peace of mind starts with preparedness. And that is a fact, Jack. But I just want to get a little personal with you guys first, okay? So I'm going to talk about how I eased into my morning today. Got out of bed, said my thankful commands for the beautiful day that I'm about to experience and enjoy myself with all the listeners and get out into nature. So I'm really looking forward to that after the show has ended. I started walking around, felt a little, stuck per se. And there was this spin bike over in the corner, and it's going, "Hey, Robin, you haven't ridden me in a while. Come on over. Let's get some energy going." So I grabbed my headsets. I put my workout clothes on. I said, "We're doing it. We're going to do it." So it's been a while since I've been on the spin bike. So I turned on my tunes, and a song came on. It's called "The Edge of Ocean." So I kind of wanted to just ease into my workout. And it's called "Edge of Ocean" by Stick Figure. I know it's an interesting name. I just stumbled upon it. Messages come to me. And this one just really, for some reason, was the perfect song for what I was feeling as I started moving the energy. I felt this calm come over me as I was listening to the words of the song. It was beautiful. And the lyrics go, "Taking a ride, throw me your arm, weathering the storm to the end. And I run until I meet the sun. And I run until I meet the seas, or reach the seas. At the edge of the ocean, There's a place to start over again. And as I'm listening, I was writing. Then it goes on to say, follow the light as the stars shine. And it took me back to a place. I started closing my eyes and doing my breathing. And it was a song about the ocean. And so I started going back into an earlier time of this year, back around July, when I took my trip to St. Augustine. And I remember the moment that I was walking on the beach, and it was early in the morning. And I've also done it late at night too. So the beach shoreline, as I looked out to the edge of the ocean, and I walked while the sun went down or came up, whichever day it was. But I know that I did both morning and night. And I remembered the moment, and I was so in the present moment, and it touched my heart. I was able to capture that moment in the here and now as I was riding my spin bike. I went to that moment on the beach, and I visioned myself walking on that beach. And I remember saying to myself during that time that I would never forget that moment. And here it was. I was bringing it into my center. I was doing my breathing. And it brought me to my spiritual center. This is one of many ways that I bring myself back to center because let me tell you what, it's been one heck of a week, especially with what's going on out there in the big world. Now, I did open up my email this morning and I sent the song to one of our listeners and he came back and sent me another song. So I wanted to say, David, if you're listening, I got the song and it was absolutely beautiful. So you and I were definitely in the same peaceful place this morning for sure. And the song he sent me was Peaceful Place by Leon Bridges. It was absolutely beautiful. So thank you, David, and I hope you enjoyed The Edge of the Ocean by Stick Figure. So if anybody wants to hear those tunes, I did put the links on the show page, or you can easily find them on Spotify or whatever favorite app that you listen to on your phone. So today's show, again, is sponsored by Nano Ogis. Nano Ogis isn't your average formula. It's frequency medicine for modern life, designed to restore balance, clarity and vitality at the cellular level. Now, when I say cellular level, that means when you take this product, it goes to the damaged areas in your body and it heals them. So it's not gonna work overnight, depending on how damaged your cells are. So it's something I've used for over a year and it's an amazing product. So every spray is a promise of integrity, energy, and it's elevated living. Experience the shift with Nano Ogis for mind, body, and your skin with the wellness spray, the skin spray, and the nose spray. I use all three of them. Excellent products. So check them out at Nano Ogis, www.nanoogis.net. And you guys can use our promo code PRQHOME15 for 15% off the product. All right, and that's not just for the first order, it's for all the orders that you ordered through that web page and also use the PRQ Home 15 for your 15% off. All right. Caller Q&A, questions and answers. The lines are open today, so you may call if you are in the US of A at 1-888-627-6008. And out of country is 323-744-4831. You can also email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com. If you don't want to come on the air and you want to share your experiences or any challenges you're having, I read one from Lee from Virginia last show. So if you want to put it in that type of format, we'd be happy to share it with the audience, okay? Because we learn from each other through our experiences, and that's how we grow and become stronger as a collective. So, any questions you may have, so feel free to subscribe also to the show. Subscriptions start at $2.99, and it helps us have your information too, so that when we want to reach out to you with information that we want to share in regard to things that are happening in the big world, we'll be able to get a hold of you. And we also do have a donation button. If you don't want to subscribe, you can make a donation. So thank you so much. Love all of you. We got a few new supporters this past week. Thank you. Thank you so much for your subscriptions. Sending love and heartfelt vibes. Okay, so real quick, I just want to talk about some of the energies that we've been experiencing this past week, and the things you need to do. For me, grounding during all this change and why it's important, more important than ever, especially with the energies that are hitting the earth right now. Let's get real for a moment. Life can feel pretty intense right now. In this present moment, between all the global uncertainty, if you're listening to the airwaves or the radios or whatever, it's hard for us not to. We all, it's just the human in us. We want to know what's going on. And then for those of you that are going through your spiritual awakenings, and all the energetic shifts that are happening on the earth right now, we're definitely going to feel those energies. So, for instance, this past week, a major geomagnetic solar energy was hitting the earth earlier. And I know that I was outside and the winds were really coming across the field in the back of the facility where I work, because I go out there to stand, under the tree or next to the tree for my quiet time. So I certainly felt the physical impacts this past week. It feels like you are riding an emotional roller coaster, which I have mentioned a few times to a couple of my friends that I spoke with this past week. So and you say to yourself, is this something I'm creating or is it not? And then the most important thing is that don't question yourself, just be aware of them. Okay? There's nothing wrong with what you're feeling, whether it's up or down. Just be aware of what's happening and let it flow and then let it go. So the good news is that you don't have to get into the chaos of the world. It is your choice to turn off all the electronics and stay in peace. This is the time that you strengthen your inner foundation, how to stay grounded when even everything around you feels like it's shifting. Being grounded is not just having both feet on the floor, it's much more. It means bringing yourself back to being emotionally centered, mentally clear, and spiritually connected, no matter what is going on around you. That is very essential. Why? Because the higher frequencies coming on the planet are powerful. They help us awaken. They're helping a lot of people awaken. The healing and the evolution that some of us are experiencing more than what we normally do. But we also can be very sensitive to the frequencies depending on where we are in our own personal frequency. So grounding is really important right now, kind of like spiritual shock absorbers, helping us stay balanced during energy elevations, or one might say energy rising. So what can we do? Here are some basics that I personally do. I take a few minutes to breathe deeply with my positive intentions throughout the day. Very, very important. I connect with the earth, planting my feet into the ground. Now, I may not take my shoes off, but I do put my back up against the tree and close my eyes and deep breathe. Okay, it's very peaceful for me. And I also do, I call it my quiet space. I go into a quiet space. Some people may call it meditation, which is fine, whatever you want, but even just 5 minutes a day. Okay, that's all it takes. If you can do more than that, kudos to you for sure. Okay, I got to pull up the chat here so I can see if there's any callers coming in. So give me a minute. All right, looks empty out there. Might be a short show. That's okay. I got enough information though that I want to share with you. Hopefully, I can get it all in. All right, so last week we talked about, the 13 colonies and the time span that led up to the homestead. And there was a discrepancy between 1937 and 1979 in activity. There wasn't much going on, and I really wanted to know why that was. So I did a little deep dive, and here are some of the events and changes that took place during that time. The act, during the era, the act wasn't repealed overnight, but was progressively limited to remote marginal lands such as Alaska. So Congress and the executive branch chipped away at it through amendments, withdrawals of the land, and executive orders. And so I'm going to go through a chronological breakdown of that. So it starts with 1937. The repeal in certain states is what took place, and Congress repealed the homesteading in states like Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi via the Act of July 28, 1937, which ended claims in the Southeast, where land was already fully settled and better suited for other uses. There was only 10,000 acres that had been claimed there historically, which is really not a lot when you compare it to the previous claims. And then down through 1940, World War II era slowdown, the filing rates for homesteading dropped sharply due to the war, mobilization, public land withdrawals from military bases under the 1940 Pickett Act expansions. So fewer than 100 claims for that year nationwide by 1945. But the focus shifted to Alaska for some reason. And it's really interesting, and I don't know if you guys remember, there was an article on For the People dot space in regard to Mount Hayes in I think the title was The Fairy Tales Are True. Some fairy tales are true. Now you can go to For the People dot space dot or dot space and just put in the search for Some Fairy Tales Are True, and that'll bring you to the history of the pyramids and Mount Hayes in regard to Alaska. So I'm just wondering if there is a similarity to that, because this is the history that they taught us that I'm reading you, but we know there's more to it than what we've been taught. So I'm just curious if we connect the dots. Was that the time when all this stuff was going on with Mount Hayes and the technology, the advanced technology? Because I do believe, yes, President Eisenhower's m administration began reserving Alaskan lands for statehood, Alaska Statehood Act of 1958. Now, this limited claims in Alaska to preserve resources. Homesteading there peaked at 12,000 claims total by 1950s. So very interesting that it slowed down in the states, but Alaska was a state, I think, at that time, or maybe not. I'm not a history buff, so bear with me if I got that wrong. Okay, so then in 1960, major land withdrawals. 1964 Wilderness Act will withdrew 9 million acres from homesteading. 1968 Wild and Scenic Rivers Act protected river corridors, and then 1970 National Trail System Act withdrew trail lands. So here they're taking all this land and doing the acts for wilderness, the acts for the wild and scenic, and then national trail system. So I'm just curious, why did the government want all that land to be untouched? Was there something else going on there? Just my curiousness there. So it reduced the availability of land by 20 million acres. Wowza! Claims fell to 50 by year 1969, the act seen as outdated for conservation era. Okay, so supposedly they were conserving the land. Okay, so then 1971, Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act withdrew 80% of Alaskan public lands for Native corporations and national parks. Native corporations and national parks. Interesting. So it nearly killed all Alaskan homesteading. Only a tiny isolated parcels remained viable. Alaska had accounted for 90% of post-1930s claims. Wow, all in Alaska. Very interesting. Okay, so then 1974 and then 1997, small tweaks to filing fees and residency rules, but no expansions. Last mainland claim, 1974, in Nebraska. And there's actually a documentary that covers the last homesteader. and I tried to find it, but I didn't get a chance to. They did have a documentary on a tractor from that era that is a monument in Nebraska right now that represents the Homestead Act. So I thought that was interesting. Anyway, 1979, de facto end in Alaska. Interior Department halted new filings after the ANCSA implementation, only 13 claims processed in 1978. By 1979, 1% of original public domain remained open. Annual claims for that year, a big fat whopping zero. Okay. So they go on and talk a little bit about things in regard to how the Federal Land Policy and Management Act of 1976 set the stage for a full repeal in 1986. Stock Raising Homestead Act also ended. Today, no homesteading exists in the contiguous U.S. And Alaska's program closed in 1986. But we all know that's not true. Okay, so that's just their information. We know otherwise. All right, so there is a lady, and I'm going to get into the foreclosure process and redemption periods for Michigan, because we have a couple of us are going through that right now. But before I get on to that, I want to read this article. And I don't know if there's anybody affiliate that knows who Anna Von Reitz is. She's an American author and a sovereignty advocate. And I found this document. I didn't find it. It was actually sent to me, and I was reading through it. And some of the information was amazing in regard to our electrical bills and our mortgages. So I just want to share this with you guys real quick. And I do see a caller on the line that's gonna segue perfectly into this topic. So what appears to be a bill addressed in your name in capital letters and your address unknown to you, this billing statement isn't really a true bill, and it isn't addressed to you. It is addressed to a franchise of a governmental service corporation, and the statement is actually a voucher allowing you to cash in a dividend equal to the amount shown as due and owing. But of course, you are never told this, and you are never told how to fill out the coupon for credit. Now, I personally have seen a few people on YouTube showing this. Now, does it work? I don't know. I've never put it into play, but I'm interested in researching it. So instead, if you don't submit the payment, you are threatened with disconnection, and in this way, you are coerced into paying the bills of a governmental service corporation's franchise. All right? Okay, so little double dip in there, you guys. Didn't know that, did you? Of course, the utility company submits the bill each month directly to the government and gets paid for servicing the franchise. That's payment number one. Then they send you a billing statement and coerce you to pay it. This payment is number two. They establish the capital credits account in your name and deposit your payment in that account, and then use the money as investment capital benefiting their utility company and prevent you from accessing the capital credit account you personally funded. Now, you don't know that. Interesting. So, in some cases, the utilities are so crooked they set the capital credits aside and later, and I know you've all heard this before because I have, later claim that they are unclaimed funds and abscond with them directly. I think I said that word right. Abscond. Abscond. So, fraudulent convertible debt always involves in double dipping systems in which a charge gets paid for twice by different parties. In effect, it gets you, the consumer, both coming and going. You are on the hook to pay for the government's debts, and so a group of you paid for payment number one. And as an individual, you were forced to provide payment for payment number two as well. Okay, so now we're going to get into the same exact system of fraudulent convertible debt is used throughout the mortgage industry. When you create a mortgage, it is never credited to you. It is registered in your name, as being owned by a government franchise operated under your name and not belonging to you. Remember that the Governmental Service Corporation is the owner of your name, which is the incorporated franchise they are running for their own benefit under your name without your knowledge or consent. So you walk in to close what you are told is a loan being made to you. And what happens? The bank takes your promissory note, which has actual cash value, but I personally never saw a cash deposit. I don't think any of us have in all the mortgages, and I've done, I think, maybe two. Just like a stack of bank notes, and they cash it. That's payment number one, charged off against the government, which of course passes the entire cost back to you and your brethren in the form of taxation. Then the bankers come back under false pretense and they actually loaned you something, that they actually loaned you something and demand that you pay them back principal and interest for 30 years and claim that you also owe them a security interest in your, okay, I don't want to lose the line, in your property, which you gave them, albeit under conditions of fraud and deceit and non-disclosure, which they can foreclose upon if you fail to perform. That's payment number two. So in effect, the banks charge you once, then charge you twice, plus interest, plus security interest that is undeserved, and you fund all of it. You fund the first payment through your taxes to the government, and you fund the second through more of your labor donated to the account of your name and what really, and what you really did, or well, excuse me, and what really did you receive? What did you really receive? You received access to credit in a bank account held in your name, but not actually belonging to you. And you spent the credit on a home and property that is recorded in your name, but which doesn't actually belong to you either. Both the purported debt and the property belong to the Governmental Services Corporation's franchise. You are just an unpaid volunteer doing all the work and producing all the credit to fund these operations for the benefit of the franchise. Okay? It's more unsure, only this time owing to the interest payments and security interest. It's more like quadruple dipping than double dipping. And all this blatant fraud based on semantic deceits and coercion and racketeering and deceptively similar names has gone under the noses of all those who trusted to regulate banking and securities, precisely because the banks were running the governmental service corporations behind the scenes and were regulating themselves. So, what is the answer? Other than becoming aware yourself, spread the word. There will be too many of us for them to silence. And once people know what went on, they will be stuck for it. And what to do about replacing these criminal enterprises masquerading as governments? Well, we all know how governments are supposed to be operated and by whom. And for most of us, that means we have to get involved. And that means everyone as a collective. This needs to stop, and I am shocked after reading this that this is actually happening and the people. How many people are not aware of it? So I'm sharing this today, and hopefully, there are some people that just became aware of it. And I have someone on the line that knows a lot about this, and I'm just telling you guys, this is really hitting home here because of what we're doing to free ourselves on our land. And this shit has been going on for a long time, and it needs to fucking stop. All right, Kimberly, are you there? Hello? Okay.
Are you there?
Oh, there you are. I know they're having some
Hi.
hi, how are you?
I'm good. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. Thank you for inviting me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Just reading that article out loud like that, wow. Especially
Yeah,
with
it hits hard, doesn't it?
it really does. And with the journey that I'm on right now and doing what we're doing to defend ourselves, knowing that this is in the background, it's just, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. It does. There's points of it when we run into the realities that, you hit a defeat wall, that's for sure. And sometimes I've got to go back and, like you said at the beginning of the show, go out and ground, get some of this off of you, get the good vibes going back through you and detox yourself, because it's just, for those of us that are good at heart, how could you possibly believe that this would be something that anyone would do to another, let alone in mass? And so if you translate it that way, then it looks like it's really an intentional act against us now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's it's so sad. And but on the positive, there are so many good things that are going on, and men and women are waking up to how each one of us has been captured and had different corporations made out of our good names and variations of our good names, like you were showing in the beginning there too. And how we really need to go back and reclaim that. And where I would say that you had said in the conversation there that the government owns these names. Well, they may have gone ahead and done that, but it's fraud. So really, when you go back and you make your claim, you claim all of those names, and some of that processing is actually declaring your political status. Some of what you do is you go back and you claim every version of your name and put it on the public record and basically take it back. They usurped jurisdiction, and so you just claim it back, and it's yours. It should never have been used. So, and fraud basically has no duration of time. It can go back to the absolute beginning, called void for fraud ab initio is what that's called. And there's no statute of limitations. So if there's a fraud involved, basically you go right back to the beginning and reset.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that I've done all of that. I've done the change of status. I've did the 928 package, and still they don't acknowledge any of it. And that's where the battle is educating
It is.
the people that are coming at us, because
Yes.
maybe they know, maybe they don't know. But you can't just sit
Got a
back.
mix. Yeah.
You can't just sit back and feel that it's going to go away. And when I talk about getting centered, because this is a lot of stuff to take in, and I
It
took
is.
this show over because when Q was on here and he said, "I'm going to show you how to free
Yeah.
yourself," like I was like, "Hell yeah, let's do it. Show me. I'm ready."
Thank you.
And
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
was the easy part. We thought that was the hard part.
Yes, the
But
things we come to know in the journey.
yeah, exactly. And so when you find out that you got to defend yourself, and then you find out what you're up against, that's a whole nother ball game. But you know what? I'm not afraid to dive into it, because I'm learning so much, and by doing what I'm doing, and you guys doing what you're doing, and we get more people doing this, we're gonna wake up a lot of people to this. And
Absolutely. And
it's
wonderfully, because, I think in their guts, all men and women know they have rights. I mean, I think that it's really just sort of an unveiling of the truth to you when you walk into learning what's actually gone on and what actually remedy is available to you in actual true common law and what your real rights are. And, that's so empowering. And I think that you might agree with this, that as difficult as some of the journey may be with this, the reward and just the satisfaction of this, and knowing you stand with that right, that empowers you so very much. And it's just, honestly, it's such an adventure, because every day we all run into something new. And I mean, the buzz is, oh my gosh, did you see this article? And oh, you've got to see this. And it's just this giant waking up process. I mean, if I were to say it, school's never been more fun. And I don't mean it that it's fun in that, I like everything I'm seeing, but at least I feel like I'm getting something that has substance and I can do something with it, as opposed to, you just have to regurgitate this for your next exam. This actually has guts. It has meaning. It has something that's applicable to my life here and now, and it gives me some sense of power to do
Yeah.
something about it. And
And
so I would encourage men and women, it's overwhelming, but when you get with others that are doing it, it gets easier. You have a team that are seeing it as well. So forgive me, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I tend to jump in. But the thing is that everybody's on a different journey and their situations are all going to be different. And what's really important is that you have to feel, you have to go within and feel what you feel is your right way to go. And when there's
Yes.
so many different options and you have limited, I hate to say the word time, but I'll say linear time. You have limited time.
Yes.
And had I known all of this like 4 or 5 months ago, I probably would have jumped on it sooner. But I figured,
Well, yeah.
my simple little notice for a motion to dismiss that I thought was just going to be a slam dunk. Wrong. But it's not
It
saying
should
that
have been.
what?
It should have been. Integrally, it should have
Well,
been.
here's the
But we
thing.
don't live in an integral system necessarily, so.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I tried to do this before it went to auction, and they wouldn't take it because it didn't have a case number. All I had was an index. And here in Muskegon County, the index number is not acknowledged as a case number, and therefore you cannot file it. Isn't that interesting how they got around that one?
Well, and they're also won't let you file it in person anyway because or walking in live because they have a mandatory e-filing system. Basically, I am in a similar situation. I actually am in the process of claiming three lands independently or under land patent simultaneously, and they have been pursuing me for close to 20 years, and so I've been fighting and fighting and fighting. And literally, as of January of this year, when they were about to move on me criminally, I contacted the sheriff and asked for an appointment. Said it. He called and canceled. Made another one. They called and canceled. And I told him on a report crime. To this day, my sheriff will not even see me. So
Yeah,
I'm here to show him crime, to show him all of the evidence.
the sheriffs are definitely not on our side. That's for sure. I
Which
went
is
into the
terribly sad.
register. Yeah, I went into the register of deeds yesterday to see if I could do a chain of title with a friend of mine. And we spent a couple hours on it, but it was really interesting. I was finding all the people that own this property, and I kind of felt like I was what is it? Investigating a cold case. Because there's so many different scenarios of people that own this house way back from 1865. But the thing also is that when I went through all of that, I saw the sheriff's name on so many documents approving this and approving that. And it's like I cited him, and it's like, hey, did you read my citation by any chance? And his name is on every document. You can see every document that is being put on my account. And if you go at the very bottom where you, and what I did is I put the lever in and the page, and at the bottom it
For you.
shows all three of my documents, my quit claim deed, my acceptance of delivery, and my forever benefits. And then you got all these other people on top doing all these other things to my property. It's like they didn't even acknowledge it. So how do we
Yes.
get them to acknowledge
Well,
that?
the sad part is part of what we did, you and I both and other men and women, we went in and we put this on the public record, thinking that this was on the public record. But if you go and took a look at my stuff or I go to look at yours, you've got to pay to see it. And if you want to print it out, oh, you got to pay big, big bucks to actually have a copy of it, of a
Well,
public record.
actually, I found a way around that. If you click on the document,
Excellent.
you can actually save it and then print it out later. Unless
Perfect.
they send you a bill in the mail,
Yeah.
which I wouldn't be surprised.
But even if you're research, but the problem is even if you're researching, we're running into men and women that are reporting that people can't even actually see the documents without paying for them.
Oh,
So you could
okay.
probably walk into the physical, but if you're sitting at your home researching, you would have to actually pay apparently to access these documents, public records. So if the public can't see them, how are they going to be able to witness what you've done?
Yeah,
And really, the fact of the matter is these aren't public agencies, and that's really the bottom line, is these are corporations that have tax identification numbers, that have Dun and Bradstreet numbers. These are not men and women that are actually serving the public. They're serving a corporation. And it's proved out at all levels of government, from the United States of America all the way down to every state and every county and every jurisdiction and township and so forth. You can go look these things up. You can find the principal that owns them, and you can look at their oaths of offices and see very clearly they took an oath to something other than the people. And this is why they're not actually letting their oaths out anymore. Why I went down and I actually in my township, two townships that I had to work with, because I've got property in two, and one really was very aggressive. I had to get the their legal team to let me do it. And these are public records. If I call forth a public oath, you need to show it to me right then and there. I then had to pay for it. And the other one got wind of it, and they actually went ahead and they redacted all of the signatures. I'm like, how am I going to know whose oaths these are? I don't give you any permission at all to deface any of these oaths. I'm asking for these records. They went ahead and they didn't put a line through them like they said they would. They took the white tape and they put it over their names entirely. And then what they did is, so I would know whose oath it was, in the top right corner, they hand wrote the name of the man or woman. So, and it's just, I mean, they're not taking oaths to we the people at all. And they won't let you have them unredacted, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
really
interesting.
Crazy. I mean, we're being dominated. Effectively, if you were to just interchange, think of it as a corporation. You were to take, you know, for example, I'll just say my, you know, in our area, Holland Charter Township, you know, if you were to take that and just as a corporation and change it out to McDonald's, and McDonald's is coming after me to pay taxes that I don't owe.
So,
so it's another corporation imposing themselves upon you.
Right.
You also know.
Our Congressman, Bill Huizenga, okay. You've actually requested him to get some information trickle up to, I think it was the White House. Is that correct?
To President Trump, correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And his answer to
I've
you
had several
was
communications.
what?
He sent it back. He said that President Trump had said that it was a local issue. And I said, well, that's well and fine. It should be a local issue. But unfortunately, the usurping of jurisdiction is such that they have military courts that are being run on us.
But
So they
stop
just
for
basically plowed
a
me
minute.
over.
Hold on a second, Kimberly. So he said
Sure.
that Donald Trump looked at him and said, oh, that's state and local. You know, like
He
if
said that it's
Donald,
not, he
well, hold
basically
on,
sent
hold
it
on. Let
back
me
to.
finish. Let me finish my thought. Otherwise, I'll forget. Sorry.
Forgive me.
If Donald Trump actually read the information that you submitted, I don't think he would have said it's a state and local. No, from what you've told me, it's way bigger than state and local. I mean,
Well, my situation is huge.
yeah.
This is huge. I mean, I have them for crimes against humanity. I mean, I'm on one of my properties, they cut my water off for refusing a smart meter, and that was 830 some odd days ago. So I keep sending Bill these notices saying, okay, 825 days, you going to help me? And this is something that you can't, like, Congress basically made law in 2005, and they can offer you a smart meter, but they can't force you into it. So I basically said no, and they cut me off. I had a $90 credit, and they used that up, and now I have a bill of about over $100 bill of a water readiness thing for 800 and some odd days. So they ate up $90 of mine, and now I have a hundred and some odd dollar bill for water that I can't even use.
Yeah. And
No water.
you're also finding a lot of corruption in that area in the state and local government. And Mr. Huizenga, you have been to him, and has he yet to do
Oh yeah.
anything or come to our aid in any way
Well,
whatsoever?
he actually came back on me and had the audacity to tell me that he hopes that I'm getting some medical care because this must be very stressful. To which I'm in holistic health, and I wrote back and said, well, I think that that's highly unusual. Aren't you out of your lane as a politician when I specialize in holistic health? I'm doing just fine. Yes, it's stressful, and if you'd like to relieve that stress, that'd be great about now. So, yeah, he tried to make me crazy, and that's not going to work. I know exactly where I am. I have all the law and all the evidence to prove it, and I told him that I'm here to report crimes against humanity on up to treason, and basically, it's not being addressed. I went to my sheriff. He's blown it off. I've gone to a township meeting. They cut, I have to put it on the record, and they cut my mic. I was asked to leave after 3 minutes. I turned and looked at the officer and said, are you really going to do this? He's like, that's not my jurisdiction, and we had to leave. So I've attempted to report crime for over a year, and I can't even get anybody to listen to me. So I went to my congressman, and then I went to President Trump because I have all three of my land patents. I would like him to affirm my status as an American, as a bona fide elector that is capable of owning land on America, and I'd like him to affirm that the land patents that I got from the Land Bureau of Land Management, basically signed one by President Polk and the other two by Abraham Lincoln, are indeed valid in this world. I'd like him to extend my land patents at this point, so he can put a signature right on that, or recreate another document, or whatever we have to do to get that done. But he needs to acknowledge this and extend what is our right. And so that's what I'm asking for. And I'm hoping that, I'm going to get access to make that happen and hopefully set the precedent for all men and women, because I have a three pack. And so all three of my lands are owned outright. I don't owe anything to anyone other than they're attempting to, and they've already, the county has actually already moved themselves into basically first position, and they keep trespassing me. They keep, putting notices on my doors. They've got court dates for me in January to basically take my property. I own them outright, and I basically don't have water. I don't have water. You've
That's
taken my
crazy.
right to life away.
And
And then they cut off another property, my water,
our
and my mail
congressman,
was charged. I don't even get my bill.
is he aware that Mr. Huizenga, your situation with that water?
Oh, he won't listen. No, he won't listen to all of it. He won't listen to all of it. He's only taking sound bites. I told him, he asked me to put together an evidential. My evidential is so long right now that it's taking me days and days and days to do it. And I told him, when I am in a presence of somebody that I know, or really now specifically President Trump, I will hand it all over to him. But I told him, you have to recognize that everything I have could get me killed. I'm not just sending this out. This is going to have to be done in a way that I have some protection, and that this is actually seen by somebody that will do something and not just bury it. I mean, things are going on that, I was told to go ahead and report some things to the FBI. So I called. I got a call back. You know what they said to me? The only code that they can enforce was 666. Don't tell me somebody's not messing with me. Come on, it's the FBI. You can enforce anything you want to, but the local office can only enforce code 666. Come
I wonder
on.
what that means. I don't know what that means. I know
Oh,
numbers are up.
it's bribery. It's bribery, but in the spiritual dimensions. Somebody was
Huh.
basically letting me know, there's a principality and so forth on this. So
Interesting.
they just told me the devil's playing, and I just laughed.
Oh, God. Oh, so Anna Von writes, okay. I have just recently learned about her and what she's doing and what she has done and her story and her journey. And I'm so very proud to know that we have someone like that that has been through a lot and has fought for everybody. And her story is amazing. And we did recently get some news that she is going in front of the world court. Is that correct?
Well, I was able to have communication with her this morning. There has been a bit of a hold up in that. Part of the story with this is that she was basically just kicked out of her home. It basically was served the day after her husband passed away, and within days, basically was removed from her home. She has all the right in the world to everything that is her ownership and so forth. This is basically just a tyrannical state that is imposing themselves on things and out of law. So she has very high connections with all of the work she's done over the 40 years, and her living law team of about 600 or so men and women that help support all of the work that goes out. And basically, at this point, as that happened, as the as she was approaching her husband's death, he was brought home, and the I believe in the transfer of her getting them all into the home again, had left her purse in her car, and it was stolen and had her passport and everything. So she was asked to be able to come over to the World Court, which is in the Netherlands, and was all set to do so. But without a passport, the Netherlands is not letting her into the country. And so she sent a contingent ahead, And they do have men and women in place there. My most recent information, I was asked if she wanted anything put out, and she did inform us that at this point that she may be able to be going to New York to actually present this with a contingent there. So they're all scurrying, is what she said, and we'll hope to report later as to if she'll be able to remain. They're also working on trying to get a replacement passport, but. It's just a very complicated time, as you can imagine. So,
Yeah,
we're
but
hoping that she gets.
I truly believe there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And
Oh, definitely.
the reason for the shutdown is also for a lot of us to shut down and go within and take some quiet time and breathe, because I heard that this shutdown is affiliated with the insurance companies, which we know are connected to the banks. So we'll see how this all
Of
plays
course.
out in the matrix.
Yeah.
But thank
Well,
you so much, so much for coming on
absolutely.
today.
If I may offer one quick thing,
Oh, sure.
AnnaVonGreen.com. You can see her most recent articles if anyone would like to see what's going on. They're writing consistently to inform us. So what you do is you go to AnnaVonWrites.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page because that's where her 5,000 articles are hosted. And so at the very bottom is the most recent. But the about seven, September 15 is when she really got hot with all of this and will explain what she's doing and standing for all of us. So this is not just her case. What she's got the ability to do is to basically free all men and women's land. So this will very much pertain to each of us doing that. And for anyone that's looking to correct their political status on Michigan, MyMichiganAssembly.land, MyMichiganAssembly.land. We'll look forward to serving you. Thanks for
And
having me today.
it's not just in Michigan. It's United States wide. So everybody, if you're listening from,
Absolutely.
get on those assemblies and start learning this stuff, because the more that we learn about it, the more powerful we can become in strategizing to end that process. So thank you so much, Kimberly, for joining. We got to close down the show here. So beautiful day to you, and we're gonna wrap it up as the dusk settles. Thank you to BBS Radio for hosting us, and a massive shout out to all of our incredible listeners that joined us today. I can't believe the hour is over already. Goodness gracious, there's no such thing as time anymore. So anyway, the next show that we will be having will be, I do believe it's going to be November the 1st already. So tune back in for another boundary pushing episode of PRQ Homesteading Expanded. I'm Robin, and hopefully Shane will be joining us again. And until then, keep innovating, regenerating, and reclaiming the modern day legacy, recreating the succession of the original patent, one resilient system at a time. Stay connected, everyone. I love you. Love you.